All right. Decade is coming to a close. The decade is over. But guess what? We have a Golden Beast Awards for the movies of the decade. Decade. And what we are going to do is we have a list of movies, but we have a top five. So we have movies that did not make the top five. So we're not going to do the worst movies. That's way too many movies. But the movies that we liked from the last decade, not including any comic book movies in this list, mainly because that's too easy. So I'm going to start it off. First movie that did not make my top five. The first one is going to be Gravity. Amazing movie. The next movie is going to be The Raid.
It did not make you top five?
Did not. So the next one after that is going to be Wolf of Wall Street. Great movie. I also have a couple other movies that have Leonardo DiCaprio in it, but this one did not make the top five. The next one's going to be La La Land. For me, a very artistic movie from a cinematographer's perspective. Very well done. And choreography-wise, music-wise, everything done well. And another Damien Chazelle movie, which La La Land was, is Whiplash, which is also a great movie. Next is going to be Logan. Logan did not make my top five. But
didn't make mine either.
But it is on my outliers list. Next one after that is going to be Hacksaw Ridge. Like war movies, coming up again with another war movie, it's going to be Fury. Watch that movie constantly. Another movie that I watch constantly, Edge of Tomorrow, is Tom Cruise at his most Tom Cruise-iness. And it is. But that movie works. Emily Blunt, well done. Great casting in that movie all around. And that's another Tom Paradox movie. The next movie is going to be Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Technology-wise, it's done well. Next movie, really had to think about this not being in my top five, The Shape of Water.
That's hard. I wouldn't even put it in my top 10, but I can see why it would be in your top five.
It's not in his top five. He's honorable.
No, yeah, but that's Guillermo del Toro just at his best as a storyteller.
Yes.
I can see
and exactly it's artistic. Why. It's a love story, and it's just weird. It is a weird movie. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, that movie is great. That unofficial sequel they made with Claire Foy.
That was actually an unfinished book. That was supposed to be the fourth book in his series.
Well, it's still garbage. All right, so John Wick 2 did not make my top five. That hurt because that is another movie that I watch constantly. If I'm on a plane... That is generally on the plane and I always watch it. The next movie, 12 Years a Slave. And that hurt me not to have that in my top five. Next movie is going to be World War Z. And I love that movie a lot.
I can see that being up there. And I think it's up there because that was a movie that should have failed.
Yes. It had but every it chance fail. To fail. I mean, went over budget. They reshot the whole ending and like they basically just rewrote the movie. And it was like, all right, this is what we're going to do. Hopefully it works, and it did.
You gotta do respect. And they didn't just say, you know what, let's just throw this out there. We got to fix this. Switched it up, changed up what was dumb and stupid about it, feedback, and realized that what they were doing was not right.
They went with the positive ending. But the next movie is going to be The Equalizer. I don't know what they did with the second movie, but that first movie is good. It's very, very good. Next movie is going to be A Quiet Place. That movie's amazing, and there is a sequel. Hopefully that will turn out well as well. And the last movie that did not make my top five for the decade is going to be Kubo and the Two Strings. And that one hurt. Animated is wonderful. You've dealt with loss or something. That movie tackles all that, and it doesn't try to beat you over the top of the head with any themes, things like that. It just works. So, my top five. The 2010s first movie is going to be Inception.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, my list had some Leonardo DiCaprio in it. One of three movies that he has been in that is on my top five. It is Matrix level mind blowing, or at least Matrix 1 level mind blowing, not Matrix 2 and 3. Those are garbage. But yeah. So, the next movie. Again, it had a bad sequel, but the original movie was wonderful. Sicario. Another movie that has Emily Blunt in it. Shows up on the list. Daniel Kaluuya before Get Out is in that movie. And if you like crime, thrillers, dramas, suspense movies, that movie's amazing. The next movie, The Revenant. The movie is still good after the many, 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 many times I've seen that movie. The next movie is going to be Mad Max Fury Road.
Can agree with that. Yes, indeed.
And again, movies that have sequels, that those movies have been out. That movie, I guess it was 80s-ish when the last Mad Max came out.
Last Mad Max came out late 80s. That was 1985.
Yeah. So George Miller, before that, might have done Happy Feet.
He's got an interesting career.
And I will say he's a visionary. I mean, everything about Mad Max Fury Road should have failed. It should have failed. Somehow, some way, he brought his flair, his visionary style into that movie. Furiosa into her own singular character. That movie is amazing. The last movie has the greatest actor of our generation, and he was also the greatest actor of the 2010s, Ex Machina. That movie... mm-hmm. That movie, as someone that likes science fiction, as someone that fascinated by androids, robots, anything that might be automatons, that movie takes best of all those elements, the best of acting, the best of cinematography, the best of suspense, then also dance into this wonderful movie that had Oscar Isaacs and Domhnall Gleeson before he took his downfall with being in Star Wars. But Alicia Vikander, before she started taking some bad roles, but they all in that movie is only three people in that movie for the majority of the movie. It's in my top five just because all those elements work well. And Oscar Isaac is the greatest actor of our generation. And that is my list.
For my top movies of the decade, most likely it's going to probably be a lot of horror movies on here. But there are going to be some that you may not really...
Who would have known, James? Who would have known? The Mayor of Scare. Jay, go ahead.
But you may not actually expect it. One movie that I enjoyed that I actually surprised that I enjoyed.
Mother?
Hell no. Moana.
I can agree with that.
I was watching it when I was on a cruise with my family, and they had it playing outside just a big-ass screen, and I was just sitting there just watching the whole time sitting at the pool. I was like, oh, pretty interesting. Catchy. I understood the story. I was just intrigued by it. So I'm going to put this on the list just because it is out of my realm. So usually movies that are out of my realm that I like, quite impressed by, I got to give it credit. So one of the movies, and...
Jay has a soft side.
Another movie that I'm going to put on, that this is probably definitely within my wheelhouse, The Conjuring. I don't really need to say anything more about that. It's James Wan, so there you go. Okay, you know exactly why I said this is James Wan.
James Wan!
Doesn't mean anything else. It's James Wan. It's going to be on the list. So
James Wan!
Yeah, so that's going to be there. Also, I got to agree with Barry on this. Always mispronounce it. Ex Machina. That movie was really good, too. I didn't have really any expectations from it. I just decided, hey, it's on Netflix. Let me check it out. Watched it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Very good acting all around. A nice little twist. Had sci-fi elements in it. It was very good. It is a sci-fi, but I also consider it a thriller. So, a science fiction thriller. Because it did have elements of thriller, which I enjoyed. And also had kind of like a mystery going on, too. Who's telling the truth? Who's manipulating someone? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? And then you watch the movie, you figure out what happened. You're kind of like, ah, that was well done. Very well done. So I enjoyed that movie. And also to piggyback on Barry once again, Inception. Inception was a very good movie. I'm a fan of Christopher Nolan. He's a very good storyteller. And also he's very good visually. Movies always look pretty good.
You recall after watching that movie, we jumped on Call of Duty. And went straight for that snow level. I remember coming away from that movie just being, I'm like, I'm a fan of Tom Hardy now and forever.
Yeah. I think that was my first true introduction to Tom Hardy. I know he was in Star Trek, but I didn't even realize that was him until I was like, oh.
Shinzon, everybody. Shinzon.
Oh, damn. That is him. So, but yeah, I truly enjoy that movie. It definitely has a Matrix kind of twist to it, but it was well done. A lot of movies kind of like copycats or trying to emulate the special effects or certain techniques that they use. This one was done very well, and I enjoyed it. As a matter of fact, I would say this is the first movie that I seen the city was changing like they did in Doctor Strange. And that was actually a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful special effect. So I do remember that, and I definitely enjoy that. I would say it.
Can agree with that.
Yeah, that movie was really, 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 really good. I was a fan of the It miniseries, but it did not age well at all. You watch it now, it's kind of comical. And I was just wondering, like, man, I hope they do it justice, because usually the Stephen King's book to movie translations have not always gone that well.
They are generally failures, Dark Tower being one of those worst
ones. Yeah, so hopefully I was thinking like, yeah, this was going to be good, and it exceeded my expectations, because I believe Tim Curry, the original Pennywise, he had big shoes to fill, and Bill Skarsgård did a very good job as Pennywise. It's his own interpretation, and he brought to the role his own little niche, which is good. And I think anytime you take a role that someone has done before you, you got to do something different. You don't want to be a copycat. You want to be something that stands out, and you want to just put your stamp on that character. And I believe he did a great job. I mean, he was creepy. He was eerie. He had facial expressions. And come to find out, most of the things that he was doing was all him. And that's even creepier to me. Will have to definitely be on my list. The acting was pretty on point. Story was on point. And the thing about what makes his acting so special, these are child actors. And they did a very good job of just having you invested into the story.
Also, like, Stranger Things was difficult. Toe that line between being close to Stranger Things and doing something differently. And the movie did what it needed to do to distance itself from Stranger Things.
Watch it over and over again. I have not seen chapter 2, but from what I've heard, it is decent, but not as good as chapter 1.
Stay away from that movie,
though. Okay. But it is definitely on my list. All right. So that's it for me.
I'll start my list off with Fast 5.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
That is the Fast and the Furious. Prior to that movie, the movie called Fast and Furious, which is the fourth movie in the franchise, it took a shift where Justin Lin took over the franchise as the director. Vin Diesel came back and executive produced that movie. Fast 5 was a direct sequel to what happened in Fast and Furious. It was a complete shift. They were out of the U.S. and Brazil. It took the series from being about street racing to a heist movie. But at the same time, it was other elements involved in it as well. Family being one of the big story elements, establishing like a new status quo with them, just carried on throughout the rest of the series up until today. Fast 5 was actually a well-done heist film. It was fun. It was just flat out entertaining. It was neat that the way that they were able to pull a heist film together and then bring in characters from the previous films into it while maintaining the original elements that made the franchise itself so popular. I'm going to go with The King's Speech. That's with Colin Firth, Helena Bonham Carter, and Geoffrey Rush. Colin Firth plays the King of England, where he has to make a speech announcing the outbreak of World War II. Big into period films, and I like the royal families oft times very fascinating to me, mainly because they, one time, their entire life's in the public, but at the same time, they're extremely private. He has to make a speech, but he's got a speech impediment. He has a stutter, and you just can't have a stutter like that and portray England, and he being the face of England, of an entire country who is at the forefront of a world war, he can't come off as being anything but strong and solid to his people. And the drama focused on him giving that one speech. And when he delivers it, you're at the edge of your seat, just rooting for him. I really enjoyed it. Third film is going to be another foreign film, and that is Rurouni Kenshin. That's actually the second movie in the three-part series. Rurouni Kenshin was actually a novel beforehand. Most of the stunt work is all practical effects. They use very little CG. There is some of it in there. That's just for some of the more outlandish things that happen. Swords catching fire, stuff like that. They're not really swinging around flaming swords, but that's really him. And not only that, the actor who's the lead actor, he's doing their own stunts, 90% of his own stunt work. Next, I'm going to kind of step out and I'm going to put on my top five, Kubo and the Two Strings. I will freely admit here that I got misty out at the end. It was a legit, we're talking the old world ones where there was tragedy, yet that tragedy was mixed with hope. And it wasn't your traditional young coming of age hero that rises to the challenge and saves the day. Tragedy after tragedy, yet it was told in the way of just a solid adventure. But this adventure would have none of the Hollywood trappings of it. Barry, you know exactly what I'm talking about. At the end of it, you accept the loss, you accept what happens, and it tells a very important message about accepting loss, recognizing what you have despite that loss.
Correct.
I think it's a very good film to present to children or young people who have experienced loss. I'm going to go for something controversial here. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. That wasn't the best one, but I'm going to put that one in there because, like Avengers Endgame, the culmination of 7 books or 8 movies total wrapped up a story, the Wizard War that kind of came about. A lot of times in media, like the fact that there's going to be a war in an action movie is a thing of excitement for the audience. In Harry Potter, it showed that this war was nothing but devastation and loss. There were people who died who were just lovable characters that you knew as a result of this conflict. You don't come away with it as being, okay, that war was something cool that should happen. When's the next one going to happen? What happens afterwards? Is everyone okay? How are they doing? And the special effects, the acting, it was all very well done. Towards the end, it was kind of like, it's got to end. And hopefully it doesn't end without too much pain and death. And that was fascinating to me, especially for something that was written for children, but actually told in a way that was accessible to adults as well. So I'll give Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, and I'm a person who read the books as well. I thought it was an excellent adaptation of the novel. Glad they split it up into 2 movies, but I'll get the last movie the nod for one of the best movies. But I'm going to overlap a bit with Barry, and I'm going to say that Fury is on my top 5 of the decade.
Yes, yes. We saw that together.
I think we saw it together, right?
Yeah.
I was like one of those movies, like, let's check it out. And I was tempted to put The Raid up here. I guess in this case, I could throw in like the honorable mentions I can say briefly. But I picked Fury because all the top 5s on my list I actually thought about afterwards and can watch again and again and feel the same way about it, no matter how much time has passed. Fury was one of those movies I just kept thinking about afterwards. I mean, it made me respect Shia LaBeouf as a legit actor. The whole cast did everything spot on. They looked grungy and grimy and dirty and sick and angry. There was no, we're going to go off into and fight this good fight at the end of the road. They were protecting their home almost. A couple honorable mentions. I've got Mad Max Fury Road on my list, Inception, John Wick, and War for the Planet of the Apes, as well as Gravity on my list.
War for the Planet of the Apes are done.
War for the Planet of the Apes, the last one. That was my favorite one. You and I disagreed on War for the Planet of the Apes. So that is my list.
Does anyone have any trends that you would not like to see make it to the next decade?
J.J. Abrams working. Okay, I'm sorry. That's not a trend, but...
No, it is.
That might be a trend. Yeah. J.J. Abrams needs to stay away from anything that's
established.
No, anything that is like geek culture, sci-fi, don't ever touch Marvel stuff for a little bit, like comic books and stuff and everything. They need to fire him immediately. Keep him far away. I don't want to see Bad Robot in front of anything else ever again.
Yeah.
But mostly the biggest trend I want to see this whole woke agenda to stop. I fully understand the need for more diversity. I can fully understand why people would want that. And I applaud filmmakers and creative talents wanting to be more inclusive. But when you force feed that stuff, it gets to be hokey and crappy and just pure garbage. You get the tokens to appease that audience. And while that may open a door, just a wedge for more creative talent, more people to put in more thoughtful stories, and force feeding it just is not the way to do it. Never really worked. It's never done it. Like, one of the best examples of adding diversity has always been Star Trek and Star Wars. It literally laid the groundwork. You didn't have a Star Trek episode, the black female communications officer, Lieutenant Uhura. It was Lieutenant Uhura, and that was it. Done deal. You didn't shine a spotlight on what made that person or that character diverse. The cringy things that I saw that kind of made me say that this trend kind of needs to end was at the end of Rise of Skywalker. Abundantly clear, it was kind of forced into that limelight. You didn't have any other lead up to that.
It's a decision made saying that we did something. Is that
exactly? Exactly. In the first place, Star Wars isn't about sex, but at the same time, it's like, okay, clearly you want us to get that you've got this in there. That's called force feeding, and that trend needs to stop. I mean, I thought we were past all that. It doesn't need to be forced. You've got enough diverse cast working on these films that these things can be brought about far more naturally without us looking or feeling force as it is. So they need to stop the force diversity. Don't shoehorn something in. That's the trend I want to see stop.
Unnecessary sequels. I will say that some sequels is not a bad thing. What we've been seeing recently, I would say probably, well, throughout this whole decade, unnecessary sequels, unnecessary remakes, and just no creativity, period. The sequels don't really add anything to the story, or it's been so long, you just lost interest in the franchise to begin with. I'll give you a recent example, Zombieland 2. Zombieland 2 was an enjoyable movie. I enjoyed myself. I liked the movie. I took it for what it was, but yet it's been 10 years since the first one. So if they would have done it maybe 5 years or maybe three to five years after the original, it would probably have set well. This one, it was kind of like, okay, well, let's just put this out here to make money. It was kind of like a rehash, but it was still an enjoyable movie. This is what I would classify as a popcorn movie. I liked it, but it was unnecessary. It didn't really have to happen. Just add on to what I was saying with Hollywood with creativity. They lack so much creativity. There's unnecessary sequels, remakes to things that doesn't need to be remade. They just out of ideas, and this needs to stop. If it keeps going at this rate, nothing will ever be new. Everything is going to just be a rehash. We've seen it all before. The viewing audience is just going to get tired of it. Then what? What are you going to do? You have to do something. I suggest you stop it now before it gets out of control. I mean, it's there. Band-aid over a bullet hole. So hopefully they could get it fixed, but that definitely needs to stop in the next decade. And this is something of a genre pet peeve, since I am the massive horror and suspense. Stop with the jump scares, okay? Stop. Jump scares have been going on for at least 2 decades. It is time to end. You need to go back to traditional storytelling, setting the tone, and the atmosphere. If you could do that, everything else should take care of itself. You may have a couple of jump scares here and there, but not your whole movie just to be jump scares. Because after a while, you become desensitized. If something happens over and over again, you get to pick it out. You know jump scares about to happen just because of the camera angles. And I've been talking about that probably since, Barry, you've known me. This is how I just picked apart horror movies. Like, yeah, jump scare coming right now. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that. It needs to stop. It definitely needs to stop, and hopefully they take it back. I mean, like I said, to make the perfect horror movie, in my opinion, you have to mix genres. You have to mix genres. Like I mentioned before, you need to have elements of American horror, Italian, what's it called, Giallo, Asian horror. You need to have those three elements into one movie. If you could do that, I believe you will have a successful horror movie franchise. And also, I'll give you a prime example of that. I believe that the Conjuring series has done that. Because it has that eerie vibe, has decent storytelling, and also it has a little bit of mystery, a little bit of suspense. If you add those three elements, you got a good movie. Those are the things that definitely need to change in the next decade, from my point of view.
I'm going to take a different track on this. So what I'm going to say, a movie's based off of books, where the character is essentially the chosen one, or they come from nothing, they are nothing, then they wind up being starter of a movement. The Hunger Games really set that trend. I mean, it's Ten Commandments, it's Spartacus, it's The Running Man, it's all of that, and I'm very much tired of it. For me, I think that is the one thing that I would like not to see making it into the next decade, particularly from a movie perspective, but it's always going to happen because somebody has a crappy teen novel. Stop trying to recreate the Hunger Games as of I am nothing, I came from nothing, but I am the spark of the movement. So that is the podcast of the decade. If there's something that you heard and you have not seen it, you might want to go look at it because the Beast Game approves of it. And that's the Beast Game Podcast. Yeah. One, four, three, two.